7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we are moving on to the Detroit Lions. And if you guys have not checked out our episodes before, they have been the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears, obviously the NFC North. And that next episode after this one is going to be the Packers. So, again, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can check us out on Twitter, at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. And check us out on our website, ponycakesports.com. Stop it. And you guys can also check out our friends on CleatGeeks.com. And also hit them up on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Let them know we are the ones that sent you. Check out all their articles, all that stuff. They got a lot of baseball stuff going on right now. A lot of new writers that they've added to the team. A lot of good ones over there. So, with that being said, we are going to start off with the Detroit Lions. They finished last year number two in the division, 9-7. And they were 6-2 at home, 3-5 on the road, 3-3 in the division overall. And they scored 346 points. That is 19 points more than the Minnesota Vikings and a crap ton more than the Chicago Bears. I'm not going to get into it this episode with the Bears. I'm just going to say I'm going to stick to just the Lions.
Yeah, please. It's not very surprising, though, that they scored more points than the Bears.
Yeah, I don't want to keep poking the Bear. Oh, don't want to keep poking the Bear on that one. So, again, let's talk about some of the people that left in free agency and some of the guys that have now made their way to the Detroit Lions. So we're going to start off with one, Riley Reiff. We talked about him last episode. He is now a Minnesota Viking, 5-year deal. Larry Warford, he ends up going to the Saints, 4-year deal, $34 million. Again, he's an offensive guard. Stephon Charles, he's going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 2-year deal. And Andre Roberts, he's on Atlanta. So Clay Harbor, another backup tight end, he ends up leaving. He goes to the Saints as well. And that's pretty much it. They didn't really lose a lot of guys. So pretty decent for their offseason with their free agents. Riley Reiff, though, I would say is a pretty big loss, but
personally, I think they upgraded, though.
You think so?
I think Ricky Wagner from Baltimore is a better right tackle for them. I think he's the highest paid right tackle in NFL history, you know. But he did pretty well with Baltimore last season. He's been a quality right tackle for them in that system, and I like him in Detroit.
Are you looking at this idiot? Oh, my God. I'm going to take a picture of this, and I'm going to tweet it out because this is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, so they, and like you just said, they got Ricky Wagner from the Baltimore Ravens, a 5-year deal. They got an offensive guard in TJ Lang coming from the Green Bay Packers, a 3-year deal. I thought that was a great signing. Akeem Spence, defensive tackle, coming from my great Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3-year deal on that for $9 million. Cornelius Washington, D-end, coming from the Chicago Bears. Yes, the Chicago Bears lost another good one for a 2-year deal. DJ Hayden, you kind of, you know, a 1-year deal, $3.75 million on that. Yeah, I think it's worth it.
Former first-round pick, so might as well kick the tires on him. But pair him up with Darius Slay, it's not a bad 1-2 punch at the cornerback spot.
And then they also got Darren Fells, again, a tight end that is done a little bit, but not much. But there's always that little bit more out of him that you desire.
He's going to be that blocking tight end that they've kind of needed.
Yeah. So what do you think about their offseason? They didn't do a ton, but they got some upgrades on that offensive line.
Yeah, personally, I think the additions of TJ Lang and Ricky Wagner are upgrades. They invested early picks last year in Taylor Decker, got Graham Glasgow, and they invested big-time picks in on the defensive line as well. They were obviously focusing on getting those trenches solidified. I think they did a good job with that.
Listen, their point differential per game last year was worse than the Minnesota Vikings. They finished second, which was great, but their point differential was worse than the Vikings. They needed to make some of these moves, and I loved their offseason.
What about one Matt Asiata? That's another signing that they made as well.
I think that's a huge signing for them. I mean, obviously you have guys out there who are going to, you know, they have the Theo Riddicks of the world. They have the, what's the other guy, Tom?
I can't see. Zenner.
No, Zach Zenner, yeah.
Amir Abdullah,
there you go, coming off of his injury. I mean, these are guys who are going to step up, but adding a guy like Asiata can be an immediate impact guy.
Immediate impact guy? Over Zach Zenner and Dwayne Washington?
I feel
as
like
well?
They're, but I feel like it's going to be a rotation until they find who fits their system.
I think Asiata is going to be their fullback. Straight up.
Could be. Very possible.
The Lions have confidence in Amir Abdullah. I don't know if that is justified. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. Theo Riddick is obviously their third down back. And I like what I saw from Zach Zenner last year, especially that game against the Cowboys. He was dominating that football game in the first half. Kind of fell off the earth, though, because the Lions decided to stop running the football. But with their additions across that offensive line, I think Zenner's going to have a chance to carve out a very nice niche for himself. He's that white running back that Tim absolutely loves.
Here we go.
Peyton Hillis was his favorite football player for years when he was on the Cleveland Browns, made it to Madden. Tim made like 10 t-shirts with Peyton Hillis' face on it. It's kind of weird and creepy. But Zach Zenner, Tim's a big fan of you.
So, you know, we talked a lot in our last episode about one Mike Wazowski, or Mike Zimmer, as he's actually called in during his day job. And we made fun of his eye patch a lot, so I decided to do the show today. That's why these guys are laughing. With a self-made eye patch, it's essentially a tin strapped to my eye by my belt. So that's why these guys are laughing right now.
I like how you had to go the belt under the chin over the head.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how else you'd want to do it, Josh. I want the real effect. Listen, being blind in one eye is not a joke, okay? We can't be making fun of Mike Zimmer like this, all right? So I'm living a day. Listen, I made fun of him. I'm walking a mile in his shoes, okay? I am going the extra mile and seeing what it's like to be like Mike Zimmer for one day. I don't know what Tom's doing right now. Tom could have a knife. Tom could be playing Monopoly. I don't know what Tom's doing right now.
Well, you sound like an asshole.
How? Why? I'm trying to understand how difficult it is for Mike Zimmer to coach in the National Football League. There's no way he can see the offensive line and the defensive line at the same time. No way.
Regardless, this is about the... Stop. This is about the Detroit Lions, so we are going to move on to other guys that may make an impact, and that is from the NFL draft.
I don't even know if I can talk right now. All right. Woo! All right. The Detroit Lions used the 21st pick in the 2017 draft to get Jared Davis, linebacker from Florida. He is their future, their franchise in the middle of that defense. It was a home run pick by the Detroit Lions and GM Bob Quinn. Davis is everything that you want physically from an inside backer, he's got the mentality for it. If you haven't heard this kid talk about football, go find one of his pre-draft interviews. You can tell what football means to this kid. To say he loves football is an understatement in my eyes. He's going to be day one starter for Detroit, and he's going to add a lot to that defense.
They did what I wanted, that you would want your team to do, what anyone would want their team to do. They took Jared Thomas, still crying, that's why I'm chuckling right now. They took Jared Davis, a guy that is going to go out there and be, like Tom said, be an immediate starter. They took the safe pick. They did not necessarily take the guy with the most talent, I don't believe. I feel like there were more talented guys at this spot, but they went with the safest pick. They knew that their defense was where they needed to have the adjustments, and adding someone like Jared Davis is a huge, huge, I cannot stress it enough, addition.
Yeah, I love Jared Davis. I mean, I talked him up all offseason. If there was a time to talk about Jared Davis, it was him. Him and Zach Cunningham. Those are the two inside linebackers that I talked about, and it was tough for me to peg one above the other. But I think, like you said, this is a kid that loves football, loves everything about it, and he's going to be a great addition for this team.
And I'm pretty sure there was two of us sitting at our table of fun right now that said Davis would be selected before Reuben Foster in the draft.
We did.
And there was a very good possibility of that. Tim called us crazy, but it looks like me and Josh were correct.
You have anything to say, Tim? I do. It's erroneous because if there were no injury concerns, I still believe what I said.
as much as I liked the first Gator that Bob Quinn selected, I think the Lions missed on their second pick when they selected Tees Tabor, cornerback from Florida. Tees, he might have had the worst pre-draft process of any player. He struggled tremendously at the combine and then decided to do all the drills again at the pro day and put up worse numbers. Tees will succeed if the Lions plan on using him strictly in zone coverage where he can keep his eyes on the quarterback. When you watch his tape, he did a very good job doing that when he played zone coverage. When you asked him to play any type of man coverage, this dude struggled. He doesn't have the deep speed to deal with burners. Doesn't really have the speed to cover guys that run in the 4.5s, which isn't really that fast in the NFL. He has good size, though, and arm length, and he's kind of that typical modern-day build that most teams are looking for at the cornerback spot. He's over 6 feet tall, over 200 or close to 200 pounds, and I don't think he's going to be starting day one. He could use some time to sit behind Darius Slay and kind of learn the modern-day NFL cornerback spot. I don't know if he's ready right away, in all honesty, and I know Josh hates him. Tim probably loves him.
No, I don't love him. I wasn't super high on the pick, but taking a corner from a big school that a lot of teams were high on to play opposite of Darius Slay, I don't think is terrible. You know, it's another guy who he's going to at least have some sort of impact on the defensive side of the ball. I just love the fact that they took their first two picks and went after guys that they thought could help that defense in any way. So am I super high on the pick? No. But am I as low on it as you, Tom? No, I'm just kind of vegetable lasagna at this time.
I hate the pick is an understatement. I mean, like I said, before in our breakdowns with Tees, Tabor, he has to play in his own scheme. If you think that this guy is going to come out and play man-to-man defense, and he can say as many times as he wants, play the tape. I don't care. I watched the tape. And you're very good in zone defense, but man-to-man, you are getting torched. And if I have a running back, or if I'm an offensive coordinator and I say, hey, I'm going to run the ball, I'm running towards Tees Tabor every time. Because you know what's going to happen? He's not going to make the tackle. He's going to barely run up to you and act like he's going to make a tackle, and then he's going to run by. So that's what I think of Tees Tabor, and I'm not even going to get in-depth with it.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning of our pre-draft process when we started watching film on all these guys, and when you looked at the cornerback rankings early, Tees Tabor was number one or number two. And we watched the film, and I'm glad we did. And it was a good learning process because I believe we kind of watched the film, trusted our eyes, and kind of realized this guy wasn't as good as a lot of the experts are saying, and that kind of came true on draft day. I don't think he should have been taken in the second round. I thought somewhere late second, late third, somewhere in that line.
But yeah, that's the one thing I will not forget is that there were two guys who right off the bat that we said should not be as high as people had them. That was Tees Tabor and that was Caleb Brantley. Brantley obviously then had some off the field issues as well that hurt him. But you know, you're exactly right. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but we kind of read those guys for what they actually were.
With the 96th pick in the draft, the Lions selected wide receiver Kenny Golladay from Northern Illinois University. Big physical wide receiver, something they really don't have right now in Detroit. 6'4", 218 pounds. This is the type of receiver that I think the Lions needed. It's kind of was the writing on the wall that Anquan Boldin wasn't coming back. He's kind of, in my eyes, going to replace Boldin. But Golden Tate and Marvin Jones are the standout starters right now for the Lions. But Golladay is going to come in, added much-needed size to that unit. He's going to be that outside receiver and hopefully gives Golden Tate the opportunity to line up in the slot more often. He was more effective when running routes in the slot and kind of picked apart a lot of those nickel cornerbacks. He's got good speed, though, for his size, ran in the 4.5s, had good college production. He had 160 receptions, 2,200 yards, 18 touchdowns. Little bit of a reach in my eyes. Most of the experts had him going in the fourth or fifth round, but overall, it's something they needed.
Yeah, and they needed, but I feel like it's a big reach. I feel like they could have continued to fill out that defense like they continued to do in the fourth round, but there was a lot of talent there. I would have liked for them to go with another corner, honestly, with how deep this cornerback class was. They could have found a Kenny Golladay type player later in the fourth or even fifth. He's a big body, which is exactly what they need. You're right. But he's a project. You know, you're not a lot of wide receiver projects, but he's a project. I mean, he's not a great route runner. He hasn't played the top level of competition. He hasn't gone up against big physical corners. Who knows? He's in that big body, but he can turn into a baby against these big physical corners in the NFL. I like Kenny Golladay. I'm a big Northern Illinois fan, but I don't really like how he's going to translate into that Detroit Lions offense.
Yeah, they just had to get, you know, Matthew Stafford another weapon. And you have one Eric Ebron. You have, like you said, Marvin Jones. You have Golden Tate. You add Golladay. I mean, again, like you said, you don't know what you have. But it could be something very, very good. Or it could be something where it's, who was the one kid from, Titus Young. Yep. From Boise State. It's sad that I know all these colleges where these kids come from.
Yeah, it's actually your job. You work here, so.
But at the same time, it could be one of those. It could be something great, and it could be something bad. So hopefully, Golladay is going to be that guy that gives him another weapon. Now, if you're looking at fantasy perspective, I don't know. There may be some dynasty drafts. People will be hitting on him pretty early, but that's really about it.
He's got that trait of that size, though, that you can't teach, and pretty good speed to go along with it. So I think it's a good risk for the Lions, because I think that was one of their biggest needs. And if one of those top-tier wide receivers fell to them in the first round, I think they would have taken a wide receiver there. In the fourth round, my absolute favorite pick of this draft was Jalen Reeves-Maybin from Tennessee. Great, great overall value for Maybin. Kind of struggled with injuries a little bit, but he's that modern-day money backer that's popular right now. Smaller frame, like that Deion Jones that the Falcons have drafted, and they drafted Duke Riley. It's getting popular. That sideline-to-sideline guy.
Copycat league.
Yep, make the tackles, good in coverage, and he's not afraid to lay a lick. I like him, and I think I really think the Lions have found their two future linebackers. Two guys who are going to play all three downs, both have all the ability to play all three downs, and I absolutely love the pick.
Yeah, I love the pick as well, Tom. I feel, you know, it just makes me think even more. If they would have went corner in the Kenny Golladay position, you're talking about potentially one of the best drafts altogether. I mean, they talk about addressing needs, right? You talk about Jalen Reeves-Maybin. He is a... he's a physical back. He does not let his size prohibit him from playing the position in the manner of which he wants to. A little bit worried about his size just with how physical he likes to play. That's kind of the MO for someone who gets injured, for shoulders, necks, whatever it may be. So that's my only concern. But in the fourth round, the 124th pick overall, I love this choice.
Jared Davis and Reeves-Maybin. I just love it.
It's a nice combo.
Yeah.
And it's something they could really build upon.
And Tease Tabor.
Ugh. With their second, fourth round pick, they got tight end Michael Roberts from Toledo. He's a tight end that doesn't really do anything great, but does a lot of things very well. He's going to be a project for them. But he's this for me, this pick was about getting some competition behind Eric Ebron. He's coming into a contract year. And Ebron's been getting better year after year, but is he going to be worth that big-time money? Some team's going to be willing to pay him, and the Lions need to find out if he's worth that money. But Robert's going to come behind him, going to be able to block, be an inline blocker, go in the slot, and play more of that wide receiver role, and I think this is good for the Lions overall.
His name is not Michael Roberts. His name is Eric Ebron's Firestarter, because that's all that he is. He's there to light a fire under Ebron's ass. Ebron has gotten better and better every year, but he's never lived up to expectation. He's underachieved throughout. Eric Ebron, they spent a first-round pick on Eric Ebron. They need him to be the guy that they drafted with a first-round pick. Michael Roberts is there to say, hey, guess what, champ? If you're not going to pick up your game, I'm here to pick up the pieces, so step it up.
Funny note on him is that his hands are 11 and 5/8 inches.
Around?
Which is bigger than a football.
That's huge.
That's you know what they say about guys with big hands, Josh.
That's not where I was going, but I'm just
big
saying.
Big gloves.
I'm just saying.
He's going to be fun to shower with. In the fifth round, Tim's been talking about the Lions needing another corner. The Lions address that. They got Jamal Agnew. He's a slot corner. It's going to add some competition into that defensive backfield. You know, very good special teams player. He's probably going to make the roster because of that. But right now, he's probably their fifth or sixth best corner on the roster.
You're going to say, oh, they addressed that with a special teams guy who probably will never play corner in the NFL for his whole entire career?
He might.
But he might. But
the nickel cornerback spot is... It's a hard position.
The only way he plays corner in the NFL is if he gets traded to the Bears. That's the only way. He's not going to play corner on any decent team. No, not a steak dinner bet. It's some guy's career. There's the odds of him and all the games that he plays are for him playing at least one game at corner. My point is they did not address one of their weakest positions. And when you are playing a quarterback twice a year named Aaron Rodgers, you better secure that secondary. That's why I don't believe they did what they needed to do.
In the sixth round, they drafted the future quarterback of the Chicago Bears, Brad Kaya. You know, look, last year at this time, he was getting talk about being a top five pick in the 2017 NFL draft. His mom was in the movie Friday, so she's pretty famous.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome. But Brad Kaya, he does a lot of things okay. Kind of struggled, though, this last year at Miami. He's kind of... He knows the game of football extremely well, but he does have physical limitations. But getting this kid in the sixth round, putting him as the backup behind Matthew Stafford, I really think he's going to have a chance to make the roster and give Jake Rudock a fight for that backup quarterback spot for the Detroit Lions. And I like Jim Bob Cooter to get the most out of this kid. That dude's an offensive guru, offensive genius, and we have seen how Matthew Stafford has grown under the tutelage of him.
You guys know how much I love Brad Kaya. I was truly hoping that the Chicago Bears would take Kaya late in the draft and not waste one of their early picks on a quarterback. That's neither here nor there. Listen, Brad Kaya that late gets to sit behind Matthew Stafford, who is a great NFL quarterback, gets to play in a scheme under Jim Bob Cooter, like you said, who has helped kind of revive Matthew Stafford here over the last year and a half, right, Tom? So listen, I love the pick, to be perfectly honest. The Lions are in a stage now where they have to start drafting for backup quarterbacks of the future.
It's crazy to think that, like, in my opinion, I feel like the Lions, you can almost consider this as the steal of the draft in a sense, because you got to think of this. Brad Kaya probably was going to be a first round pick last year if he came out, and he didn't. And now look where he's at. It's a little frustrating for him, as I can imagine. But the Lions, they just got a guy that was considered a first-round pick a year ago. And that's tremendous value on where they ended up selecting him in this draft. Again, he is a very good quarterback. Do I think he could be a starting... Oh, I hate you, Tim. Do I think he could be a starting pro quarterback? I think he could be. And I just don't think we've seen everything out of Brad Kaya yet. And it'll be very interesting. I think he'll be a backup, obviously, for Stafford to begin, but there's a possibility he could be the starter eventually.
Immediate favorite in the locker room, right? Just because
you would
of his
have
mom.
To assume.
Just because of his mom. I mean, everyone has to be just. I mean, how many times a day do you think he hears "Bye, Felicia"? Has to get annoying.
You having trouble looking at him?
Yes, I am.
Why? It's okay. It's all Mike Zimmer does this, and no one laughs at him. I don't understand what your guy's problem is. Can we talk about Pat O'Connor, please?
Let's talk about it. Next up, Tom.
I got nothing else.
All right. Well, enough of the draft recap. Let's move on to the fantasy aspect of it.
What grade are you giving the draft?
I like their draft, minus their second round pick. And it's kind of weird because you could have said that you could have went wide receiver in the second round. You could have got a Chris Godwin there. And then... you could have reached a little bit for Chris Godwin and then maybe hit up a corner in the third round where they did. But I'm going to give it, just because I like the Jared Davis, I really like Galladay. I mean, there's a possibility where he could be something good. But the Brad Kaya in the sixth round and then the Reeves Maven, I'm going to give it a B. I'm going to give it right about there.
I'm going to give it a B as well, Josh. I'm right there with you. For the million times that I said at cornerback, if they would have just filled that position instead of going wide receiver in the third, I would have potentially even been at an A-, because I really love what they did on the defensive side of the ball and kind of securing some sort of quarterback future.
I'm giving the Lions a solid B+. I think there's a vision that Bob Quinn has had for this team the last two seasons. He started last year by addressing the trenches. They desperately needed upgrades on both sides of the football. Continued to do that this year in the free agency. And this draft, they pretty much used it to address the skill positions on that team. The Detroit Lions have gotten better significantly the last two seasons under Bob Quinn.
Can we talk fantasy football, gents?
Let's move on.
Fantasy football, let's go with one Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, I think, is extremely underrated, and that's just me. But Matthew Stafford was a, you know, the number, I know he was top 10, where if this would load here, number 7 ranked quarterback in the National Football League. A gunslinger, has been fantastic ever since coming out of the University of Georgia. You know, still didn't, you know, had his ups and downs last year, but you know, when needed, he can throw over 300 yards. He can have those 3-4 touchdown games. The best part about him is he had a good year last year to be ranked number 7 overall. He could be much, much better. I mean, he could very, very easily be top 4, top 5 quarterback. And I think as we see the Tom Brady's potentially start to slow down, the Drew Brees's start to slow down, these veterans start to slow down, this is the guy to kind of carry on that high octane quarterback play. Over 4,000 yards, 24 touchdowns. His interception ratio has got a little bit better, but he still had 10 last year. Had 2 rushing touchdowns. I like Matthew Stafford. I would probably never have him on my team because he's going to be drafted much higher than I'm willing to draft a quarterback, but I like Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, right now he's being drafted as the 13th quarterback, which is very good value for someone who consistently cracks the top 10. We keep seeing Big Ben drafted above him year in and year out, and Big Ben can't stay healthy. He'll have those games where he absolutely blows up, but Big Ben struggles on the road tremendously. Matthew Stafford's one of the safer quarterbacks in my eyes.
Yeah, I agree. I had Stafford on my team last year, and I thought he was very, very good, especially when you had the Marvin Jones blowing up in the beginning of the season, and then you had Golden Tate finally coming into his own later on down the season. The only thing is that's going to kind of push him over the edge is if he has a more consistent wide receiver duo, in a sense, because you had Marvin Jones at a high, then you had him as a low when Golden Tate was a high, and you had opposite going back and forth throughout the whole season. And it's just, you need that consistency for those wide receivers. And I don't know if it was with Marvin Jones just being hurt all season long, or if it was just combination, and now they add Galladay. They just need more weapons. They did that, so we'll see what happens. But I still feel pretty confident as having Stafford as my starting quarterback. But again, I'm not reaching for him, which some people may be. Finishing 7th last year, there may be some people that reach for him this year. So
I'm going to move to the running back position, and it's much better, but it's still kind of a mess. It's still going to depend a lot on health for the Detroit Lions. I mean, the best fantasy value running back last year is Theo Riddick. Obviously, Amir Abdullah went down with his injury that ended his season during week 2. So Riddick was kind of forced to come out there and have a much bigger role. With that being said, it was mostly as a pass catcher. You had Zach Zenner be much more productive than anyone really thought he would be. No one really knew who he was. So this year, you have Theo Riddick, you have Matt Asiata, you have Zach Zenner, you still have Dwayne Washington, and you have Amir Abdullah. 5 running backs vying for realistically probably 3 spots, maybe a 4th if someone's going to stick around in terms of special teams. Is there a way all 5 guys make this team?
There is, and that's if Asiata is the fullback, which I kind of think is going to happen. Fullback's kind of a dying breed, but I think Asiata fits that role. But fantasy-wise, this backfield, you should just try to steer clear unless you're getting crazy good value on Abdullah. But right now, I don't want to really touch any of those guys.
Yeah, I'm staying away. I guess in PPR, you can kind of lean a little bit towards Theo Riddick. But for the most part, like, they have come out and said that Amir Abdullah is going to be the featured back. We're going to go through our offense with him in the backfield, blah, 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 this and that. I can't believe it. I won't believe it, and I will not buy into the hype. I just think this team is going to be more pass-oriented, and I think that's why they have a lot of these running backs they can catch the ball out of the backfield. So that's where I have those guys.
Yeah, right now, Theo is being drafted as the 30th running back. Where do you guys think Amir is being drafted at?
I'm going to...
35.
I'm going to say 42.
31. So pretty much right after each other. Theo, if you're in a PPR league, Theo Riddick is worth picking up. He is worth starting. Dude's going to catch 40 to 60 passes a year. That is his role. He's got that Darren Sproles type role back in New Orleans. But I'm worried about this backfield. I kind of hope Zach Zenner gets a chance. We saw at the end of the year what he could do.
As you should be, Tom. Let's move on to the wide receivers. And, of course, you have the great Calvin Johnson. Never mind. He doesn't play football anymore. You know, you hear all that stuff about him talking to the Raiders, and he said that there was no way that the Lions would ever let him out of the contract. Nevertheless, the guys who were there last year, Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, those are the two kind of go-to guys when you think Lions wide receivers. Listen, they both had decent years. Golden Tate, over 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns. Marvin Jones, just over 900 yards, 4 touchdowns. Golden Tate was the 23rd ranked wide receiver. Marvin Jones was 38. Again, it's so weird. Any of us, I believe, would love to have Matthew Stafford, right? Outside of that, I think we all like to kind of steer away a little bit from pretty much everyone else on their offense because they're so hit or miss. They're so hot and cold. You don't know who you're getting really in any of these guys. Marvin Jones on fire to start the year. You know, over 50 points in his first 3 games. Dominant. And then just flat lines. And then Golden Tate starts to pick up. You know, nothing. Through his first 5 weeks, I barely broke 12 points. And then week 6 gets 22. You know, has multiple 20-point games in the year. The point is, you don't know who is going to blow up in this offense. I am not a big fan on any of these guys, unless it's a backup to fill a bye week role.
It's hard to gauge these guys right now. Golden Tate being drafted as wide receiver 17, that is way too rich for me. There's absolutely no way I will have him on any redraft leagues. Marvin Jones, on the other hand, being taken in the 50s, the 50th wide receiver off the board, that's decent value. We saw what he can do in Detroit when he was healthy. He was their go-to guy the first few weeks of the season. So I'm going to have Marvin Jones on my team more than I will Golden Tate. I just think 17th overall for Tate is a little outrageous.
Yeah, it's way too much, and then you're reaching for him theoretically to be your low-end one, high-end two, and in my opinion, I'd rather have somebody else. I'd rather have, as much as I'm not a huge fan of him, I'd rather have a Doug Baldwin above Golden Tate.
Oh, yeah.
So, and especially with this offense with no true identity, they have 5 running backs, again, on their roster. They have 2 wide receivers that had up and down years last year. They drafted a wide receiver. They have a tight end that, again, has shown that he can make plays. But, again, there's games where he just hasn't really done anything. And it's an offense that it's a very weird offense. And the only player that I'm very comfortable with drafting is, again, one Matthew Stafford.
You mentioned the tight end, Josh, so let's go there next. One Eric Ebron, I mentioned before how he needs a fire lit under his ass, and I'm staying right there. He needs it. He was the 15th ranked tight end in fantasy football last year. Again, you are a number one draft pick. You are a first round draft pick. A team picked you first before anyone else. 1 touchdown last year. I don't care if you were injured. I don't care if you missed 4 games due to injury. You still had another, 12, where you could have gone out there. And, you know, he tried. He had multiple, you know, let's see, 5-4, 5-4, 7-7, 4, I mean, 8. He's had games, but he needs to be a bigger impact in the red zone. For a team with no running game, how does your tight end only have 1 touchdown? There's something wrong there. You have no running game, and you can't get your tight end involved in the red zone. Big, big, big problem. Eric Ebron, step up. Fantasy value, I personally am not drafting him unless somehow I put myself in a predicament where there's guys, you know, talented guys that I just cannot pass up and I miss out on everyone. Then I would take an Eric Ebron before, you know, the very bottom of the barrel of tight ends, because he's right above the bottom of the barrel, I'd say. You know, he's like a mid-level, but 1 touchdown and that was week 1. That's not going to cut it, young man.
Eric Ebron's been extremely frustrating to watch his first four seasons in the NFL. He's finished top 15 the last couple years, but the dude struggles with drops, which normally means when there's a bad drop, normally the quarterback stops looking at you for that game. He struggled with staying on the field, missed four games last year, multiple games in the season. He left early due to injury. And the biggest thing is what Tim just brought up. One touchdown last year, and it was week one. He's probably someone I will be targeting. Tight end's kind of a fluky position. Some years, guy has two touchdowns. Next, he has eight. And I think Ebron has that potential. It is a contract year for him. Maybe that the vision of that money coming to him, if he has that big-time year, will help him stay healthy. I don't know if that's the case, but right now he's tight end 14. I think that's too low for him. I think he should be a little higher than that.
Yeah, he had his fifth-year option picked up, so like you said, contract year-wise, and it, one touchdown last year, the year before, five touchdowns. That's obviously what fantasy owners want to see out of their tight end. I just think it's tough because he was kind of put in a tough position to begin with. He's drafted the 10th overall pick, right? Drafted out of North Carolina. So it's you're coming in, you're supposed to be the next and newest greatest tight end, getting picked as high as 10th overall. It just doesn't happen very often. And then you come out, you get 25 catches for 248 yards and a touchdown. That's hard to live up to. And then you come out and you have your breakout year, your sophomore campaign, over 500 yards, five touchdowns, and you dip back down with only one touchdown. I'm expecting some decent numbers out of him. I like the five touchdown range for him this year, and I like about where he put up his yardage-wise. Last year, 700. I'm going to say around 620 yards for him this year, but I still like the five touchdowns that he had 2 years ago.
Josh, would you want Eric Ebron on your team?
Normal years when I draft tight end, I kind of just play waivers sometimes. I usually try to focus a little bit more on my running backs and wide receivers. But if you were playing week to week with Eric Ebron, I think you're okay with it. Just for the fact that I think that they're going to be more of a passing team than they're going to be a running team. So I wouldn't hate it if you said, you know what, I'm gonna pull one over on everybody. I'm gonna go with Eric Ebron contract year. I'm gonna see what happens. I wouldn't hate you for it.
I just can't. I'm getting lower and lower on Ebron the more and more. Listen, he has twice as many drops in his 3 year career, more than twice as many drops in his 3 year career than he does touchdowns. There's something wrong with that. The fact that 2/3 of your career you average one touchdown in 3 years, that's a problem. He seems to be a one-trick pony. They haven't had a running game. They haven't really had anything. I mean, they had Calvin Johnson there, but they haven't had anything. They have had no reason of why he's not able to succeed. That's a problem. So, to me, stay away from Eric Ebron. That's it.
All right. Anything else, guys? Oh, let's talk about where we see them finishing this this season.
All right. Last year, they finished 9-7. We're second in the NFC North. I think they're going to take a little step back this year. I have them going 8-8. I think they had a very successful free agency and draft, but I feel like the Vikings are going to take that step forward and cause the Lions a chance to make the playoffs and compete in the NFC North.
I actually am going to agree with you, Tom. I see them at 8-8 as well. The thing that I look at is, you know, they don't have a running game, and they're going to have to pass the ball a lot. Look at those first four games. Cardinals potentially can have a secondary that can shut people down. Giants defense has been fantastic. Falcons defense, fantastic. The Vikings have to go up against Xavier Rhodes, and then you even go to the Panthers. I don't see them having a ton of success until they play the Saints in week six, and who knows what the Saints are going to bring to the table. I still feel like, you know, in the NFC North, they're able to obviously play the Chicago Bears twice. That's two. Chalk them up, wins right there. The Vikings, who knows? The Packers, who knows? I like the Lions more than I like the Vikings, but I see them at 8-8, 9-7 max.
It's funny, we talk about no running game, but their offensive line, again, has gotten a lot better.
True, so, very true, Josh.
With TJ Lang, and, you know, it's kind of weird to say that.
TJ Lang and Ricky Wagner.
Yeah, so it's kind of tough to to sit here, and now that I've said it over and over again, but it's I think they I don't even know how to put it together.
Can I cut you off? I agree with you. I'm just trying to think. Who do they hand the ball off to? Like, who do they hand the ball off to that they say, hey, you know what? On first down, on second down, even on a third and short, regularly, on a regular basis, and I don't think they know. Yeah. And the problem with them has been over the last two seasons is they haven't known. And they've switched it up, and it's this guy. They try different things, but they don't ever convert. They don't ever do what they need to do. It's all on Matthew Stafford's shoulders. It's how it's been for Matthew Stafford's entire career in Detroit. They did themselves an extreme disservice in not bringing in someone, and not bringing in even a third down back. Someone that is actually a between the tackles, put the ball in his chest, and he's going to get you at least 3 to 4 yards.
So what would you say if they brought in, instead of a Matt Asiata, they brought in a Latavius Murray? I know we talked about him last episode with the Vikings, but what if they brought him in? What would you have thought?
I would have been thrilled for the Lions in their run game. I think that would give them that goal line running back that they have needed. We have seen them struggle for years trying to run the football inside the 10-yard line. Yeah, a lot of that might have been that offensive line that we think is upgraded. It should be upgraded. It should be better. But still, right now, Asiata is their best probably goal line running back, and that could be an issue.
But let me ask you this. Round 2, pick 21, you know what running back was available? Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I don't think that they could have... I don't think they could have brought him in there. I don't feel like Detroit would have been a good fit for Joe Mixon.
It's kind of known as Murder City.
Well, you're saying Joe Mixon would have murdered someone if he went to Detroit?
Just saying.
I mean, listen, the Bengals aren't a good spot for Joe Mixon either. I mean, did you hear the reports? Who's taking Joe Mixon under his wing?
Yeah.
Adam Pac-Man Jones? Are you fucking kidding me? Seriously? Unbelievable. It's like Ted Bundy taking OJ under his wing. It's absurd.
I was just stating a fact. It's just, I feel like if you would have added a running back that may have been not a bigger name, but could have made a bigger splash, then I think maybe we'd be a little bit more excited about the running game rather than the Matt Asiata, the Zach Zenner, the Amir Abdullah. You know, it's kind of tough to be excited about that offensive running game for the Lions.
I agree completely. Like Tom has said over and over, it is a it's disappointing that they, you know, Matt Asiata is the only guy that they have right now. That's it.
But I am excited for that defense. I'm Jared Davis. I'm pumped to see what he can do.
I wish they would have even brought in like a Deonta Foreman. Deonta Foreman got taken in the third round. Bring him in. See what he just. I don't know. I'm not gonna keep beating a dead horse here. It is what it is. We all know what we think.
So where do they finish in the pecking order this year?
Well, I think there's an obvious last place team, Chicago Bears.
They're not good.
We haven't gone over the Packers yet, but they're the reigning, defending NFC North champs. And I think the Vikings have a good chance to make the playoffs. So I think Detroit's third in my eyes in the division.
I have Detroit at second.
I'm going to go with Detroit being second as well. I think there's a possibility with some of these rookies on the defensive side. If they allow TJ's board just to play zone and not man-to-man, and if they have somebody standing in front of him to make tackles for him, then there's a possibility that he could do something this season.
I think I like T's because he's like me. You know, he doesn't really want to hit anyone. He kind of just wants to go back there, maybe deflect a pass, and collect his cash. I'm all about that life.
Play that tape. All right, that's all we have for you guys this episode. Hope you enjoyed. It is the Detroit Lions... The Detroit Lions breakdown for the NFC North. Again, this is part 3 of our 4-part mini-series type deal. If you guys have not already, check us out on Twitter, at PonyKickSports, at PonyKickTom, at PonyKickTim. If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, email us, PonyKickSports@gmail.com. Check out our website, PonyKickSports.com. Check out our buddies on their website, CleatGeeks.com. Also hit them up on Twitter, @CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They got great articles, bunch of writers that they added to the team, so check that out. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. That's all we got for you guys. Check out the Packers episode coming up, and check out the Vikings and the Chicago Bears episodes that we shot a day or two ago. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.